Welcome back to another edition of the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Tarkowski. Today, we'll continue our tour and visit with folks from two more of our department's 24 state correctional institutions. This time, we'll stay in Schuylkill County for the entire show. A bit later, we'll hear from Superintendent Kathy Britton and Superintendent's Assistant Beth Lazuski at SEI Frackville. But up first is a visit with Jennifer Mahaly at SEI Mahanoy. Jen, can you tell us a little bit about SEI Mahanoy? What should folks know? This is one of our prototypical facilities.
Sure. We are a prototypical facility. We opened in 1993. We are a medium security male facility. We sit on 222 acres of land. 67 of those acres are inside the secure perimeter. We have 10 general population housing units and a restricted housing unit. Mahanoy houses approximately 2,100 inmates at this time, and we employ over 600 staff.
600 staff, 2,100 inmates, that's kind of like a little city within a city. Can you tell us what your relationship is like with your community where you serve?
Staff here attend quarterly community relation board meetings at our local federal correctional facility. We have open line of communication with locals in the event of any occurrences that might go on inside the facility where we may need their assistance. We provide tours to local colleges and universities. We've had law enforcement agencies, fire departments, county staff come in, and we're open to tours at any time. We love to interact with the public, have them see what we have going on inside.
One of the things that you have going on is a correctional industries program, PCI commissary shop at SEI Mahanoy. What's that like?
We are one of three distribution centers throughout the state. We do service eight facilities here in the region, Eastern region. We have four correctional staff who work in our commissary, our CI commissary. There are 97 inmates in total that work in the CI shop. The majority of the workforce there, they're responsible for picking items such as food and toiletries, clothing and footwear to fill the orders received from the inmates. We have other inmates who scan the items similar to what you would see inside, a grocery store if you were doing a self-checkout. They check out the items, bag them, and package them up to be sent on to the facility where the inmate is housed. There's other inmates who are clerical. They're responsible for ordering products and managing and incoming and outgoing shipments. They run a shipping office like you would see in the public sector.
When you talk about the CI commissary functioning much of the same way as you would like a large warehouse, is this the kind of thing that sets up incarcerated workers for employment once they're released?
Employment in the CI commissary provides inmates with job skills and knowledge they can take with them as they return to the public workforce. With the amount of ordering that we all do online in our day-to-day, there's many opportunities for them for employment once they leave here with those job knowledge and skills that they gain working there.
Yeah, because you see in our area in South Central Pennsylvania, a lot of warehouses, a lot of Amazon facilities, not to pick out one online retailer over another, but this kind of stuff is becoming more and more prevalent in the general public.
Sure. And here in Schuylkill County, our location, we're very close to Interstate 80 and Interstate 81. So same, we have a lot of warehouses here too. So again, a lot of opportunities for them outside of here.
And they always seem to be looking for workers. What other vocational opportunities, maybe educational opportunities, are available to the inmates at SEI Mahanoy?
Several different options. We have some vocational classes. One includes a barber school license. It's a full-day program open for those who meet the state barber board requirements. Once they go through the entire program, they are licensed barbers. We have carpentry vocational class, an NCCER core class as well. It's an entry-level curriculum required to pursue a career in non-unionized construction with larger commercial contractors. This is a class they must take before entering carpentry. We also offer a CDL program as well.
CDL program, always very popular. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. This is a 16-week program that uses J.J. Keller textbooks, PennDOT commercial driver's license books, and a CDL simulator to provide instruction that will teach proficiency in all areas of commercial driving. So the inmates have the opportunity to sit behind the wheel and simulate actually driving a tractor trailer down the road. And it's quite interesting to watch.
It's definitely a skill. I was going to jump in there because we have toured and seen some of these simulators, and we've put some of our, you know, executive staff in the chair and say, okay, now it's your chance to drive the truck. And then the instructor can add in adverse weather obstacles right into the course, just like you might see in real life, and your knuckles turn white a little bit grabbing that steering wheel. It's definitely an experience.
Sure, it's very real sitting there watching. Yep.
We're chatting with Jen Mahaly. She's the corrections superintendent's assistant at SCI Mahanoy. And as we all know, the CSAs are the folks that keep the facilities running on a day-to-day basis. Jen, when you're talking to people outside of the facility about what you like about your job, what keeps you coming back every day, what do you tell them?
It's something new every day. I just had 25 years in with corrections a few months ago, and honestly, it's something new every day. It's also, you're coming to a place of work where everyone is a family. We experience things inside a prison that the general public doesn't see on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, you have that feeling of camaraderie coming in here because everyone has each other's backs. Everyone keeps an eye out for each other. It's just, it's a good place to work. You feel like you're making a difference when you come in here.
And how does the staff culture impact coming to work every day?
I think being from, we're located in Schuylkill County. We're definitely in a blue collar area. It's just hardworking, dedicated people. And that's reflected on a day-to-day basis when you see how close staff work together. It really is a family atmosphere. Staff will spend time with each other. They create bonds, spend time with each other outside of here. And I think that helps strengthen the workforce inside the facility.
And congratulations, as you just said, 25 years. What's been some of the biggest changes you've seen during your time?
When I first started, email was a new thing. So I actually started as a high school intern, and I had to teach the superintendent secretary at that time at that facility what email was. So we've come a long way.
I remember working at my first radio station in the early 2000s, independently owned news talk radio station, and the general manager came up to me one day and said, Ryan, I've been reading in the trade magazines that websites are an important thing for radio stations. And I just look back on that now, and yeah, they probably were.
In addition to that, too, just the change, focusing more on reentry and mental health for the inmates, just more focus on that, too.
One way that we look to positively impact the mental health of the incarcerated population and other folks as well are dog programs throughout our institutions. Do you have a dog program at Mahanoy?
It's actually called DOGS program, and that is short for Dogs Achieving Wellness and Good Structure.
Oh, D-A-W-G-S.
D-A-W-G-S.
I got it. All right, it took me a little while. I'm a little bit slow. So are you training their service dogs or companion dogs?
We take in dogs that are received mostly from kill shelters and rescue centers located in the South. And we take them on, and the inmates are trained to train those dogs, you know, in basic obedience, things like that, and just get them ready for adoption.
So maybe a dog that would not have been considered adoptable before they arrive with you, you train them, socialize them, and get them ready for their new homes.
Correct. We've had that program since 2016, and we've successfully adopted 490 dogs to this point.
And how many of those dogs are among staff members who fall in love with them and then can't bear to see them leave?
I wouldn't have an exact percentage, but I would imagine it's pretty high.
Thanks to Jen Mahaly from Mahanoy. Now let's cross over Interstate 81 and say hello to two folks from SCI Frackville, Superintendent's Assistant Beth Lazuski and Beth's boss, Superintendent Kathy Britton. Well, thank you both for being with us today. Let's start with Superintendent Britton. Can you tell us about your career path, how you got to where you are?
Sure. I started corrections in July of 2000 at SCI Dallas as a corrections counselor. Went through some ranks there, promoted finally to CCPM at retreat, made deputy at retreat in 2013. And in 2016, December, I came here to SCI Frackville. So I'm almost here 8 years this year.
And we're also joined over your shoulder there by Superintendent's Assistant Beth Lazuski.
Can you tell us a little bit about your career path and how you came to be working with Superintendent Britton?
I started corrections in November of 2004 as a clerk typist two. In 2015, I believe it was, I became the secretarial supervisor here. In 2021, I became a superintendent's assistant.
All right. In a little bit, I'm going to ask you about your favorite part of the job, because I know the superintendent's assistants, they're the ones that really keep the facility running on a day-to-day basis. But I want to start with Superintendent Britton. SEI Frackville opened up nearly 40 years ago. You have 20-some years of experience within the DOC. I want to talk to you about Frackville itself. How has the first 40 years of the facility gone so far?
Well, you know, we've been looking at newspaper articles, and it's astounding. 40 years, you know, I don't think it seems like it's that long ago, but a lot of things have changed in those 40 years. There were some newspaper articles about SEI Frackville that were written saying it was the state's first computerized prison. And it was odd at some of the technologies that we had 40 years ago, which really any technological person today would laugh at that, really.
What did that mean at the time? What did computerized prison mean?
It said that they would have, the computers would be able to open the cell doors, and the cell blocks would be electronically and manually controlled. Medical records was computerized. Employee time clocks, all computerized. And it was like this wow article talking about what it was like in 1987. They also said that it was a $29 million facility. Now that's like half of what our annual budget is. So a lot has changed in those 40 years.
And I want to kick it over to Beth and talk about how long, just as long that you've been working with the community in Schuylkill County. What is the relationship between the facility, its staff, and the community there?
We have a good relationship with them. We do have a grass cutting and litter pickup on Route 924 and State Route 4033. We do churches. We do a lot of work for PennDOT, painting trash cans for communities and all of that.
So those are the community works programs where the incarcerated folks actually go out and work for nonprofits or other government agencies. What are some of the projects that they do? What are some of the most that you're most proud of?
Every year, there's a South End Field and Stream, also known as Whippoorwill Dam Club here in town. And every year we go down there and clean it up in the spring, get it ready for the first weekend of trout, a lot of fishing derbies, a lot of stuff that the communities will benefit from. We do Little League fields in the area, Monroe City, Ashland, Frackville, Little League fields, redoing the dirt within the infield and general maintenance, painting, really a lot of work in the communities.
And when we talk about the work that gets done inside the facility, we touch on the correctional industries, a lot of our facilities, and a lot of them, we talk about some of the opportunities that we have for the incarcerated workers and some of the shops that the folks might not expect to be inside a prison. But SEI Frackville has one where folks maybe very much do expect it to be inside a prison, the laundry facility with correctional industries. Can you give us some background on that? What folks might be surprised? Like, what kind of scale is your laundry facility work at?
We have about 70 inmate workers, which is the second highest workforce to culinary. They do customers within the state, other SEIs. And then there's two state hospitals, Danville and Clark Summit. We do laundry for Waymart, Mahanoy, Frackville, Muncie, and Dallas. And these inmates uniquely are able to earn bonuses based on the production. So laundry is quite a sought after job. They can also get certifications as a certified linen technician, a washroom technician, or a laundry and linen management program, which laundry is actually a viable job for the reentrants when they're released.
I was going to say, because, you know, going back to what we were talking about when we started about 40 years ago, when they talked about the computerization of facilities and what might have been state of the art back then being kind of commonplace now, the laundry game has changed in I don't want to say, I don't know if it's recent years or if it changed a long time ago, but the what people might think of industrial laundry is not what you guys have going on there. It's very computerized. It's very high tech.
Oh, absolutely. The main washing machine, as you said, is very high tech with the cycles it goes through. It's literally a 50-foot long tube that goes through various cycles of chemicals and washing, and there's touchscreen programming that you have to do. I wouldn't be able to do it, but the inmates and the staff certainly do a fantastic job operating those machines. 43,000 pounds a month of our own laundry. And we're a facility that has 1,000 inmates. So if you can imagine Dallas, which has twice the amount of inmates, that's probably 80,000 pounds per month of laundry that is done here just for those contracts.
That definitely accounts for a lot of the work that goes on at SCI Frackville. What other opportunities, vocational, educational opportunities are available at your facility?
Well, we do have a barbershop school. We have carpentry school. We have custodial maintenance. In addition to just basic GED and high school diploma programs, our principal is a proponent for correspondence courses. And he has worked with and has currently 175 inmates enrolled in correspondence courses, from anywhere to just getting a certificate in HVAC theory, Blackstone paralegal. Some folks go to Ohio University, Adams State in Colorado, getting a variety of career opportunities. We have one lifer who currently applied for commutation who has gotten actually his associate's and his bachelor's degree, certificates in certified addiction counseling. So Mr. Berger has truly opened up the education department to make it limitless in what they can achieve if they're willing to do it.
That voice you're hearing is Kathy Britton, the superintendent at SCI Frackville. Now, I love that you gave your school principal the shout out there, Principal Berger. But for something like that to work, and for something like that to the correspondence classes to be supported at your facility, that's got to come from the top. That comes from you. Why do you support education in that manner? Why is that important for, as you said, somebody that might be serving a life sentence to be engaged in this kind of educational opportunities? If he's not getting out, why spend the time and resources involved in getting that education?
Well, we know that greater the education that someone achieves, the lower the recidivism rate. We had Danny McIntyre, one of our leaders in corrections, speak at graduation, and he gave statistics, which I don't have in front of me, that each degree you receive from high school to associates to bachelor's, master's, doctorates decrease the recidivism rate for the individuals. And education is a great place for folks to get that life-changing motivation to stay out of prison.
Do you find it helps even the culture on the inside when you have your guys maybe involved in some kind of pro-social activity like that, something to focus on, attaining those the certificates or the degrees, whatever they may be working toward? Does that help them even adjust in their current environment?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the more they're out of their cells, out of the weight pits in the yards and in the classrooms, they get an opportunity to expand their intellect, to communicate better with others. What we have coming up in December is our annual graduation ceremony. And I love that ceremony. That's one of the favorite things that we do every year, because they get to have family members come and they literally get the cap and gown experience, moving the tassel from one side to the other. Photos with their families and loved ones. It's really, I think education is a great humanizing thing to incarceration.
And it's so moving when you see the family members come and they're proud of their loved one, maybe for the first time in a long time of again, setting that goal and achieving that goal. So nice to see the families proud of their incarcerated loved one.
Oh, and they do. They cheer and clap and cry and really get proud of these folks that attain these degrees and certificates.
What is next, program-wise, education-wise, what's coming on the horizon for SCI Fractal that you're very excited about?
Well, we're just finishing up a grant that was for a brain injury grant. That gets finished up here in December. That's woman that came in was working with individuals who might have had some sort of brain injury. And believe it or not, most folks think like concussions or football players or veterans might have brain injuries. But quite often, our inmates have suffered brain injuries through child abuse or through being shot. So this woman has worked with these inmates, identified them, tested them, and given them resources to help them navigate through life with some of the challenges of the brain injury. So we really enjoyed that one. We did a parenting program that we hope we get a chance to do again. At this point, we're working on trying to expand our vocational programming. So we're competing right now with Bureau of Education to try and get an HVAC program. So we've really been pushing for HVAC.
It always seems like there's always something new on the horizon in correction. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen in your career that have kind of moved that football forward, so to speak?
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was at SCI Retreat, we participated, they had BetaGov research projects going on. And at that point, anything goes was the opinion of trying to make corrections better. So we participated at Retreat, as they did here at Frackville before I was here, in an aromatherapy experiment and research with inmates in the behavior management unit. I just had the conference last week at Elizabethtown Training Academy where they talked about Little Scandinavia, the program that is at SCI Chester.
It's always fun to be at those trainings because we have such a large spread out agency across the Commonwealth. I want to give you a chance to talk about your staff before we let you out of here. The folks who keep the lights on at SCI Fractal on a day-to-day basis, what makes you most proud of them?
Well, this past week, we held our picnic for the SECA, the State Employees Combined Appeal. So at Fractal, we're very proud that since 2016, almost every year other than some COVID years where it was dampened, we've been achieved as some sort of award for best improved campaign, highest participation. Right now, we lead Pennsylvania in the participation amongst our staff in giving to SECA. So I'm truly proud of those folks. We have a cover committee, which is currently doing a drive for hurricane relief efforts in Florida and North Carolina. So we're collecting items to donate to those folks. We have an excellent and dedicated honor guard. They're some of the most caring and wise and giving staff members here at Fractal.
Before I let you go, is there anything that I should have asked about your facility that I did not?
I wanted to mention the good relationship we have with our local legislators. Just this past April, we hosted Senator Argel and State Representatives Jamie Barton, Tim Twardzik, Joanne Stair, Dane Watrow. The local politicians have been very supportive of Fractal. We really appreciate them for all that support. These jails, SCI Fractal and SCI Monongahela, are such huge employers in this county, and the impact that our staff have on the local economics, the local restaurants, is pretty astounding. So we're very thankful for our legislative relationships as well.
Before we sign off, I haven't forgotten about Corrections Superintendent's Assistant Beth Lazuski. Like any good assistant, you did your job today, setting up the boss for success and then letting her have the spotlight. But I haven't forgotten to get back to you as promised because I'm always interested in hearing from the folks who aren't always front and center. Beth, as a CSA who is involved in just about every aspect of the facility, what is your favorite part of the job?
Just the staff. I like working with the staff and it keeps you busy.
We appreciate all the staff at our Schuylkill County facilities, SCI Frackville and SCI Mahanoy. You've been listening to the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. We're here with new episodes on the last Wednesday of each month. For more DOC content, you can always check us out at Corrections PA on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. On behalf of executive producer Kurt Bowe, thank you for listening. I'm Ryan Tarkowski. Until next time.